everyone. My name is Megan. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anxiety, disordered eating, and fear of man. Hey. So before I truly met Jesus, I thought life was all about striving to find my worth and significance in what other people thought of me. This took on many different forms as I grew older. It started with feeling like I had to perform to earn my dad's approval through sports and academics. I believed every little thing I did needed to be perfect, or else I was a failure, and therefore unworthy of love. Then, in middle school and high school, this people-pleasing morphed into trying to gain the attention of boys in order to feel desired and enough. In college, it looked like chasing after the idol of controlling my body image through restricting food and excessively working out in order to maintain the world's ideal image. But none of these things were ever enough. No matter how hard I clenched my fists and tried my best, I always came up empty and more broken than when I started. I knew about God, and I believed he was good, but I didn't think he could possibly love me and want to help me in the midst of my brokenness. I heard the gospel for the first time at a summer camp in the 8th grade, and although I believed that night and trusted in Jesus to save me from my sins that separated me from God, I didn't truly trust Jesus with all of my life. I didn't see my sin for what it was or how desperately I needed him to save me from my self-destruction. I'd never confessed how insecure, unworthy of love, and inadequate I felt on the inside. So my sin and idols spun webs of lies in my mind, all alone in the dark for years. The lies were reality to me. It wasn't until my sophomore year of college that God used friends and family to bring my sin to light and expose my idols. I had become anorexic without truly realizing it. I was spiritually blind and couldn't see how my little g God of striving for love and approval from others was actually killing me, spiritually and physically. God broke me, he humbled me, and removed the scales from my eyes so I could see how utterly desperate I was for him. I finally confessed I needed help. I had made a mess of my life. I couldn't do it on my own anymore. So God helped me understand Jeremiah 2:13 in a new way. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I started going through a recovery program called Celebrate Recovery in Arkansas my junior year, and I saw a Christian dietitian and a Christian biblical counselor for about 2 years there. I started to cling to God and feel my need for him more than I ever had before. His love was so much sweeter and deeper than I had imagined, and he opened my eyes to see I'd been believing so many lies that kept me from actually being free. God used my counselor, Katie, to help me finally understand grace. One day in her office, I was crying and felt so overwhelmed at the thought that I loved God, but I felt like I would just always be the sheep that goes astray and would never stay with him and abide with him. And so in the midst of my crying, she asked me a simple question. And she said, "Megan, what have you done to get yourself to this point right now?" Closed my eyes and I thought about it, and I heard God whisper to my heart, and he said, "Nothing." And so I told Katie, I said, "Nothing. I've done nothing but admit I'm weak and I need help, and God's done the rest for me." And she said, "That's grace." And it was like God just turned on the light bulb in my head in that moment. I thought I knew grace before, but now I finally understood it. Knew it experientially. My head knowledge finally became heart knowledge. I had read and heard Ephesians 2:8 through 9 many times, but I finally got what it truly means. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. When I graduated college and moved back to Dallas, I went through Region here at Watermark. God used this to teach me how to trust in him and not the empty lies I had been trusting in. I used to believe the lie that God loves me, but he didn't really like me. But he showed me he doesn't just love me, he delights in me. I used to believe the lie that what other people thought of me was who I was, but now I know God is the only one who defines me and gives me worth and significance. I'm still daily growing and confessing my sin and finding God waiting with open arms and unending grace. I'm learning how to take captive my thoughts and ask the Spirit to help me fight lies with God's promises. And God is tenderly helping me learn what it looks like to open up my hands and let Him fill them with the only thing that will ever satisfy my soul, Himself. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, a couple months ago, I work here at the church, and I was in a storage area, and I was looking for something, and I noticed this tub that's sitting right here next to me, and on this tub, it just said high school, and I was like, what is in this tub that says high school? And so I pulled it out, and I opened it up, and the tub, I would love to lift it up and show everybody, but I can't because it is completely full of only rocks. And then I remembered, here, I'll lift one up. It's like this. Rocks. And I started going through them, and I remembered what the rocks were for because they all have something written on them. This one says lust and anger. This one says acceptance from others. This one says lust, drugs, deception. This one says anger and control, negativity. And here's where these rocks came from and why this stuff is written on these rocks. Way back in 2015, there was a group of high school seniors that were teaching younger students. And they were trying to talk to them about how heavy and burdensome being a teenager can be. Can I get an amen? Okay, thank you very much. And they were talking about what to do with the things that weigh us down. And as I was looking through this tub that was labeled high school, I remembered what it was like to be in high school. And I want to show you a couple pictures. The first is one of me before I was a teenager, right there at age 11. That's me. Dave, I got braces, and I'm happy about it. That dude, I think I was older than 11. I was probably 12 or 13. That was 7th or 8th grade, and I got to tell you, I peaked in 8th grade. Like, 8th grade was the pinnacle of my existence. I got the lead in the school play, which was a big deal to me. I was elected student body president of our junior high school. I just felt like I had all the friends that I wanted to have. I was doing good in all of my classes. I got on the sports team that I wanted to get on. I was on top of the world, 8th grade. Braces don't faze me. I'll put on a purple shirt and smile all day. And then here's a picture of me my sophomore year in high school. The teenage years were not good to Dave. And that smile was gone. And that's as big as I could smile for my yearbook picture. And here's why. Is because just like many of you, you know, you carry a backpack to school, probably not a scrubby one like this. But I was carrying around weights, and I had rocks of my own. And, you know, for me, I'm not going to read the things that are on their rocks, but let me tell you some of the rocks I was carrying. This is going to be tricky to do with this microphone, so will you come hold this bag just for a second? Thank you so much. Your name is Mac. Cool name for a girl. Awesome. All right, so, hey, when I was in high school, I wanted to be accepted and loved by everyone. People like you, Mac, like any random person in my school who I just met, I wanted you to love and accept me, including Kate. I wanted to be loved and accepted by my parents, my teachers, hold on to it, Mac, my coaches, my friends, everyone. I wanted love and acceptance. I wanted to be liked by girls. Allison Moore had a crush on her. Brittany Bailey liked her too. Ashley Starr, great name. Two R's, all right? Even Nessa Eskandari, different name, had a crush on her. And every time I looked for approval and love from a female, I got friend-zoned. That's why I look like I look in that picture, y'all. I wanted to be a strong Christian. Like, I know some of you want to be a strong Christian, but for me, I was secretly struggling looking at pornography, lusting after girls in my classes. And I couldn't tell anybody about it. And so lust and pornography and masturbation were all weights that I was carrying around with me, and I couldn't tell anyone because I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to be an athlete, and eighth grade Dave made the team. Sophomore year Dave didn't make the basketball team. I wanted to please my parents by getting straight A's, but the workload in geometry and history and every class I took was wearing me out. I was judgmental and condemning of the party crowd. There were people that were doing worse things than what I was secretly doing, looking at pornography. They were out drinking. They were out having sex. They were doing the real sins. And I carried this burden of judgment. Like, I was always having to compare myself to each and every one of them. But also this, I judged them, but secretly, guys, I wondered what it would be like to do the things that they were doing. And so secretly, I was jealous of them, and I was tempted to join them. Now, I could go on. Is it getting heavy, Mac? Yes, it is. Here, let me hold it here, and will you zip it up for me? This is teamwork. I think that's good enough. All right. You can sit down. Hey, thanks, Mac. Let's all thank Mac. So here it is. This is my bag. And this is what made me look like that guy in that picture. It's because I'm carrying all this stuff around with me all the time. And this is what it's like to be a teenager these days, is to have these burdens that we all carry around. And so I wanted to put these rocks in this bag and put this bag on my back so you could think about yourself. And I want you to look at me, and I want you to look at this weight that I have on my shoulders. And I want you to think about this question. What's weighing on you right now? What's wearing you down? What rocks are you carrying? And as you think of all these burdens and all the things that make high school hard and exhausting, I want you to know right here on the front end that I think there's hope for that guy in that picture, and there's hope for you tonight, right here and now. I believe that there's a God who is willing and a God who is able, meaning there is a God who is loving and a God who is powerful. So not only does he want to help you, he is able to help you. And I believe he sees you and that you can come to him and he wants to help you. And I want to show you tonight before we go into our groups to discuss that Christianity is about so much more than just praying a prayer one time at a VBS or a camp or some church event and asking God for forgiveness and then going about the rest of your life because hopefully you're safe from hell. Christianity is about a living God who is there for you each and every day to walk with you on a daily basis to help you carry your burdens and navigate your life. It's about a daily, restful relationship of dependence upon God. And so for this week, I just want to do one thing. Actually three before we move out of here. I want to show you one verse, and then I want to tell you three things from this verse. I want to show you an invitation. I want to show you a guest list and a promise. So I'm going to show you an invitation, a guest list, and a promise in this one verse from Matthew 11, 28. In this passage of Matthew 11, 28, we see Jesus Christ talking. He's talking to a huge crowd of people. The Bible says this crowd of people came to him from all around, from like 10 different towns. So there's hundreds, if not thousands of people Jesus is talking to. And in the middle of this message he's delivering to these people, he looks out at them. And in another part of the Bible, it says when Jesus looked at crowds like this, he had compassion on them because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's how I felt when I was your age, was like I was a sheep without a shepherd, and I was longing for a home and someone to lead me. And so Jesus looks out at this crowd with compassion, and he says these words. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So the first thing I want you to notice from this passage is the invitation. We're going to put it up on the screen and highlight it. Jesus says, "Come to me." He doesn't say, "Come to a program," or "Come to a certain church or ministry," or "Get involved in a better group of friends," or "Come to this a better version of yourself and truly find yourself," or "Come to anything other than himself." Jesus says, "Come to a person," and he says, "Come to me." So why would you want to come to Jesus? These words were spoken by the most incredible man who ever lived. And just briefly, I want to tell you why I think you should listen to him. And you should come to him tonight and every day of your life. Jesus is the subject of this book, the Bible. But this book isn't just one book. It is actually 66 books compiled together. And it was written over 1,500 years, 1,500 years, by 40 different authors. And it has a single theme. and a single hero, and it's Jesus Christ. This entire book, 66 books, written over 1,500 years by 40 authors, is all exalting and pointing to Jesus Christ and telling the story of how you and I can find salvation and healing and hope in the name of Jesus. This man, Jesus, there were over 300 prophecies written about him, and then when he was born and lived on this earth, he fulfilled all 300 prophecies. And there was this mathematician in California who set about trying to determine the probability of all 300 of these prophecies being fulfilled. And he put all of his students and his classes at work on this one problem, and they couldn't figure it out. And so they said, let's start with fewer. And so they started with just 8 prophecies. They took 8 prophecies that were made about Jesus, and they said, what is the probability of one man fulfilling randomly all of these prophecies? And you know what they figured out? They figured out that if you took the state of Texas and you filled our entire state, the entire landmass, with silver dollars 2 feet deep, and you marked one silver dollar and then blindfolded a person, told them, walk around the whole state as long as you want, bend down, reach into the pile of silver dollars and pull one out, the probability of pulling out that one marked silver dollar is the probability of one random person fulfilling just 8 of the 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Jesus, when he was here, it's recorded, and there were eyewitnesses that he gave sight to blind people. He healed sick people. He calmed storms. He controlled the weather. He predicted his own death and his own resurrection, and he did it. He undeniably died. He was crucified by Roman soldiers who were experts in crucifixion. Everyone saw him dead. They dragged his body and put it in a grave. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he appeared to more than 500 people. And people who denied him and ran and hid when he died became martyrs for his name. Cowards were transformed because of his resurrection. Literally, Jesus reset the entire way we tell time. You know, it's 2019 AD right now, after the year of our Lord. Before that, it was BC. So our entire calendar, what you have on your iPhone today, the date and time, is because Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He offers forgiveness for sins, hope for life after death. He is powerful, and he is loving, and he is God in the body of a man. And he has transformed every single leader in this room and millions of other people. And so I want to challenge you to seriously consider this invitation to come to this great man, who is not a man who was, but is a man who is, because he rose from the dead and he lives today. And his invitation to these people still stands for you and me today. And so I think many people in high school, I know I was, are content just to know information and have a knowledge of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. But he says, come to me. Come really know me. And I want to challenge you to consider whether or not you really know God in the person of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say come to a meeting or a Christian school or a group of people that talk about me. Come to me. So when is the last time you came to Jesus? Like, have you tried? Have you tried really praying to him and talking to him about what's going on in your life? Have you come to him seeking to know more about who he is and who he created you to be? Do you even know what it means to pray? And do you know how to hear Jesus speak? I don't think you'll ever find rest from your burdens and healing for the pain that they've caused you until you learn to come to Jesus. So let's talk about the guest list. Who can do that? Jesus said, come to me. Who gets to come to me? All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Listen to me, guys. The only qualification that you need to have to come to Jesus is that you are weary and burdened. And people so often get this wrong. I hear people say things like this: I can't be a Christian, I can't be a part of that group, because I'm not as good as those people. And if you've ever caught yourself thinking that, you couldn't be more wrong. The only people that are qualified to come to Jesus are the most weary and burdened people. So if you're feeling weighed down by life as a teenager, you're at the perfect place to respond to Jesus' invitation for you. He doesn't want you to figure out a way to relieve your burdens and then come to him, to clean yourself up, to fix your life, and then come to him. He says, come to me right now. if you're weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Sometimes people say that Christianity is too narrow. It's too exclusive. Jesus says there's only one way, and they have a hard time coming to him with their burdens. And I just want to show you one example of the way that I think about this is a picture up on the screen of a bomb shelter. If there's ever some sort of nuclear war or some sort of disaster, I want to find one of these. And a bomb shelter, in one way, is one of the most exclusive things out there because there's only one door in. But if I owned this bomb shelter and I knew there was a bomb coming, and I called and texted and emailed all of you, and I invited you to come, and I stood at the door with the doorway open, and I said, it's over here. Come in. There's one way. And I included everybody who wanted to come. That would be the most inclusive bomb shelter in the world. And that is how Jesus Christ is. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way to relieve your burdens. And all who are weary and heavy laden are welcome to come. It is the most inclusive religion in the world, not the most exclusive. There is one way, but it's one way that everyone is invited to come through. And so what happens when we come to him? When you come to Jesus, does he condemn you? If you were to come to Jesus, are you afraid he's just going to punish you and say, what's wrong with you? What have you been doing with your life? Does he add more burdens? All right, now that you've come to me, you have to do this. You have to go to church. You have to go to a Bible study. You have to read your Bible every day. You have to do nice things to people. You have to give away all your money. And you have to do all these things to get to heaven. Does he put more burdens on you? Let's talk about the promise. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The promise is this, that when we come to him, Jesus gives us rest. And listen, it's important. I want to note this. When Jesus says this, he just says it. He doesn't say how. He just says he will. He creates an invitation that we have to receive by faith. He doesn't say he will always just take them away, our burdens immediately. He might take them away immediately, or he might help you carry them. Your burdens might still be there, but he might strengthen you to help you carry them. He might show you how your burdens are a blessing in disguise. He might help you understand your burdens and why they're there. He might strengthen you to carry it with hope. We don't know how. We just know he says he will. And so if we're going to respond to Jesus' invitation, we have to come to him in faith, believing this promise. We have to come to Jesus in faith. And sometimes we think that faith is really hard, but we all know how to do this. I didn't bring any up here with me, but I'm not bragging. I've been invited to a lot of things, gotten a lot of invitations in the mail. Has anybody ever been invited to anything, or is it just me? Oh, you guys have too. Congratulations. I've been invited to weddings, birthday parties, all sorts of cool stuff. And the other day, I was just thinking about one of these particular invitations that I had received from my friend Katie Baumgratz, who is now Katie Lightfoot. And she got married, and Katie is one of the funnest people I know. And the invitation said at the bottom of it, dinner, dessert, and dancing to follow. Meaning after the wedding ceremony, there's going to be a reception where there was dinner, dessert, and dancing. Now here's the thing. Katie gave me an invitation, and the invitation had a promise. I'm going to feed you dinner, I'm going to feed you dessert, and I'm going to let you dance. But I didn't know when I got that invitation what the dinner was going to be. I didn't know if we were going to sit around a round table and a waiter and waitress were going to come serve us. I didn't know if I was going to have to stand in a buffet line and pick and choose what I wanted. I didn't know how the food was going to get there or what kind of food it was going to be, but I believed in Katie's promise that she was going to feed me. So when I was getting dressed and putting on my suit for this wedding, I wasn't thinking, should I go through In-N-Out on my way there and eat because I'm not sure Katie's going to feed me? No, I believed her promise, even though I didn't know how. And I knew as I was eating, there was going to be something sweet to follow, so I wanted to save room. And sure enough, she came through with those Pokio ice cream sandwiches where I got Bluebell chocolate ice cream in between two peanut butter cookies. Yeah, you guys are, I hear you. And then I didn't know if she was going to have a live band, maybe a mariachi band or a DJ or maybe just like some guy on a microphone just humming his favorite songs. But I knew she was going to provide some sort of tune for me to dance to. And sure enough, Katie rolled out. And it was even better than I had imagined. She had a DJ. He was great. We all started dancing. The lights went off. And then they brought out these boxes from I don't know where. And there was glow sticks. There were glow sunglasses. And I was going crazy. And I'm selfieing stories on Instagram. And I'm 40 years old. I was having a blast. Here's my point. I got an invitation, and I believed it in faith. And we all do that every time. When someone tells us it's going to be a party, we're not skeptics about it. We believe them. And you know why? Because we know the person who sent us the invitation. And I want to encourage you, if you're having trouble believing Jesus and trusting his promises for your life, get to know Jesus. Get to know who the person of Jesus was, because when you know who he is, it's so much easier to believe his promises that he will give you rest, because you can trust him to come through on his promises. And you can be eager to see them fulfilled. So Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And here's what's cool about this verse. It's not going to disappear out of your Bible tomorrow when you wake up. See, it's there for you today, but this verse is there for you tomorrow, and it's there for you the next day and the next week. And every single day, Jesus is inviting me and you to come to him with all of our weariness and all of our burdens. And every single day, he's promising to give us rest. And so every single moment of every day, we have the opportunity to bring our burdens to Jesus. Here's a picture of the cross of Jesus on which he died. He wasn't this tiny. This is just a representation. And he bore the burdens of our sin. And he died the death that we deserved. And I've been holding this bag ever since Matt came up here and held it for me while I filled it with rocks. And my back is hurting. My lower back's hurting. My shoulders have been hurting. I broke my collarbone a few years ago. It's been uncomfortable. And all I have to do each and every day is give my burdens to Jesus. And now I'm free. I can rest. I can move. The weight is off my shoulders. Let me show you my picture from high school again. You remember this kid? Hopefully my face doesn't look like that picture on the left any longer, because of what I have learned as I have come to Jesus with all of my weariness and my burdens and experienced his rest. I found unconditional love in the love of God. And I've been taught that I have an eternal inheritance, that there's another kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, that's not the kingdom of this world. And I have another place that I'm living for. So all of the burdens of performance and seeking acceptance from other people, they've all been lifted because I've received acceptance from God. And I can live for an audience of one. And I long for the kingdom of heaven, and I don't have to live for the kingdom of this world. I've been freed from those burdens. And then the presence and the power and the care of Jesus have relieved me from the anxiety and the panic that I went through. Jesus has taught me, as he's forgiven me, how to forgive other people. So the burdens of bitterness or anger from the people who have hurt me have been lifted. And the cross of Jesus has lifted the burdens of guilt and shame and condemnation for my sins, because I've confessed them to him and I've received forgiveness. So letter H last week, we talked about just crying out to God for help. Now we're getting to know a little bit more about who God is. And so the second thing we want to learn is the letter E in the word healing, help, and then entirely trust God. Believing that a powerful and loving God exists in Jesus Christ, we turn our lives, all the burdens of our lives, completely over to him. So guys, there is a God out there who is willing and able to help you with your burdens. And Christianity, listen, it's so much more than a one-time prayer. It is a daily, trusting relationship with God that transforms your life. And so if you have never come to Jesus with your weariness and your burdens so that you can find rest, listen to me. Now's your moment. Don't wait another second. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait another day or another week or another month. Lord, don't wait another year carrying around your burdens and misery when you can just come to Jesus and hand them over to him and then go free. And then the next day when you collect some more burdens, you can go back and give them to him again. So if you don't know how to do that, if that seems too simple or too easy, I want you to talk to your step group about that and be like, okay, I want to do that. How do I do that? And they'll talk you through it. And it really is, guys. It is that simple of seeking Jesus, coming to him, looking for him in his word, talking to his people about him, praying to him until you find him, and telling him you want to give him your burdens. Honestly talking to him and then receiving to him the things that he says in his word he promises to you. And one of those things that we talked about tonight is rest. So let me pray that you guys would all experience rest as you share your burdens with one another and seek Jesus together. Dear Lord, I pray that everyone in this room would experience rest tonight as they share with one another what you're teaching them and what they're going through in their life. I pray that they would see you in the response and the love and the encouragement of your people that are in those circles. I pray that they would see you in your word as they work through this curriculum and they study your scriptures. And I pray that they would see you in your creation and that your spirit would even move in their hearts and speak to them in ways that they've never experienced before, so that they would know your intimate presence and they would learn to trust your strength each and every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.